One of the stories that Dad used to tell was when they were coming to school, they used to walk to school. The Hearn boys, he and the Hearn boys were coming from...
They lived on the same road.
They lived on the same
road. On Hearn's Road.
On Hearn's Road.
Mm.
And they were coming down over Bald Hill, and Bald Hill, as I said before, it was fenced. And the Chinner boys were down the bottom end, and the old bloke, Jock Fisher, whose name was, he was a quarryman too, and he was coming through the park. Oh, that's right. Sibley and the Hearns and the Sibley boy, or Dad, drive this whole horse, poor horse, down the thing in the Hearn, and the Chinner boys are shoving it up the hill. But anyway, eventually the horse went down over the bank, and they said, "Oh, you know," when they came across Jock, "Oh, Mr. Fisher, your horse is up there." "Yes, he's all right."
What about the one when they pushed the horse, pushed the things through the fence? And had the horse on the other side.
Oh, that was the policeman.
Oh, that's right. That was New Year's Eve, wasn't
it? Well, no, not New Year's Eve. I don't know when it was, but
there's
an old fellow who lived out the Wilton Way, or, you know, south of Angston, and he used to come in here on his horse and dray. And I don't know where it happened, but the policeman and another fellow, who won't mention any names, not to do with me, and they took the horse out of the shafts of the dray, and they shoved the shafts through the fence, and then they took the horse around it and put the horse back in the shafts. One of them was a policeman.
One was a policeman that did it, yes.
Sort of a policeman he was.
That wasn't olden days, though. That was back in about the 60s, 50s, 60s, wasn't it?
Yeah, the 50s.
Yeah, and that's not long ago.
Yeah.
Well, it is for our grandkids. It's forever.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of these stories around us.
Mm.
Dad had to...
Yeah.
Another policeman, there was a stripper up somewhere up the street near New Year's
Stripper.
Eve.
Now, just tell us what a stripper is.
Wheat stripper.
Oh, one of those.
I don't know where it was, but it was in the main street somewhere, and the policeman was from Rosenberg, and he got in there to watch these, in the box of the stripper, and you're going to catch these lads, you know, playing up on New Year's Eve. And the lads saw him got in there, and they put in there, so they went and locked it. He was locked in there.
Yes. Yeah, lots of stories about like that around, I guess, in all the towns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, old towns in heaven.
Yeah.
Mm.
But the thing is, you know, those stories, you know, I suppose they'll die out eventually, but because, you know, oh, we...
I keep saying he's got to write his memoirs.
Write things down.
That's what I tell him, and he won't even get the pen out.
No.
Not that I've done it.
I've
got some in the book there. I don't know what I wrote about, but it's in the book.
And did you guys ever contemplate moving out of the Brosser at any stage, or it was just
no? Because we're in business. You know, we had the business, and we didn't retire. Well, I retired in 1996, and Bill, you lasted a couple more years or a year after that.
Yeah.
And so, no, I mean, that was a family business, and that's just what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And so we were running it with Dad, and then there was only a few of us doing it, my sister and us two and Dad. And, I mean, we were exporters to US, and we went over to... We did have a export manager working for us for a while, then he decided to go and do something else. So then I took on the exporting as well as everything else, and then we went over to US to see all our people over there. And they were big buyers. I mean, we'd send a container load of fruit at a time. They would buy the whole container of, let's say, fruit, which was a 20-ton load.
We sent one... 40-foot container.
We had a big container, 40-footer.
And they were all 2-pound boxes, weren't they?
Yeah, six in a carton.
Six in a carton, and we filled a 40-foot container. We worked out how many cartons and boxes they were.
Yes.
And they had an argument. It was all right to drive on the road here, and we sort of had a few discussions whether it'd be all right to take it off the boat and, you know, drive on the road over there.
No worries,
I said. When it got over there, they wouldn't allow it on the road. So a bit of discussion is there as to who paid to...
Who paid to have it unloaded and put in two smaller containers, two 20-foot... Yeah, I always remember that one. But, we were selling it into catalogues, like Neiman Marcus and those sort of things there.
Big companies over there.
Yeah, and so, yeah, and it was a family business, so that's why we stayed here. And when it's your own business, you put a lot of time in that you don't put ask for dollars, which, I mean,
well,
because we were exporting to US, I would spend a lot of time on the phone at night talking to them. During the night, yeah. They would ring up any time. No, they didn't care what time, whether I was at work or not. But if you wanted to make a sale, you did it.
Yeah.
And that's how we got it. That's how we would get stuff over there.
But one of the bigger buyers was the fellow was Bill. His name was Bill.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
He'd ring up and it'd be 4 o'clock in the morning and I'd say, Bill, do you know what time it is? 4 o'clock. Oh, rah, rah, rah.
Oh,
he
knew
darn well.
Yes. Bill was in charge of all the cold storage and, I mean, that had to be absolutely right. And the production and the manufacturing, all the processing of it. Mm. And, I mean, I had all the office part. I mean, Dad was around and he was very good with figures, but he'd much rather be out in the factory.
Yeah.
And he'd disappear. He would not be in the office when he was needed. And so, but I own a typical family business. That's what it was.